Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, as it has been going, more Koberger information has dropped in the last, 12 hours or so since many of us have been sleeping. We're going to go through that first today. And there's a lot of it. There's new images that Brian Koberger took himself in his apartment. This is images from his phone. We've all been wondering what is on the Brian Koberger cellular device. Well, we're about to find out more. And it turns out he's a big fan of taking selfies. I know a lot of us thought that's crazy. Why would this man be into taking selfies of himself? Well, it turns out he really is. And we're going to take a look at some of those in just a few minutes. There's new stalking reports out about Brian Koberger stalking people, like literally showing up at their homes, married women, having him showing up at their house. Just, hey, me, how are you? Tapping on windows, doing all sorts of weird stuff. It all lays into part of the bigger picture of Koberger. We heard these stories about maybe tapping on windows around Moscow. This is going back way further. We're going to get into all of that. An Amish woman attempts to drown her family, takes out 2 members. We're going to get to that, and Siobhan Scott's going to join us as we're going to talk about the baby Emmanuel Haro case and Jake Haro, the evil monster father, and a system that allowed him to thrive, basically, and basically destroy the life of one little girl who will now live the rest of her life maimed because of him, in a system that allowed him to proceed. And then, of course, Emmanuel, he's gone. So a life extinguished. But there was a lot of ways to stop all of that. That's all coming up on today's Hidden Killers Live. First, we are going to begin with Brian Koberger, of course, arrested back in December of 22 for the murders of 4 University of Idaho students. The world's attention obviously froze to Moscow, Idaho at that time. Can you believe it? Almost 3 years ago now. We're coming up on the anniversary. 4 lives stolen, small town shattered, and a suspect who seemed almost out of place. An introverted PhD student in criminology. But as the case unfolded, investigators began finding a trail of behavior that pointed to something a little bit deeper. Signs that these crimes didn't come from out of nowhere. I want to talk about this for just a second. When we first saw the images of Brian Koberger, when we first heard about, okay, this is the guy, did anyone have any inkling just how weird this man was going to be? I mean, we've seen all sorts of different killers over time, but and they all certainly have their own unique qualities. But Koberger, I don't know. I mean, what Stacey? I mean, what's been your thoughts on this guy from the get go?
He gives me some really creepy vibes. Right now, I'm looking at his ass in a pair of Levi jeans.
Stop. Spoiler alert.
World got to get it somewhere. I mean, come on. Oh, goodness gracious. He's thirsty for attention, mm-hmm. is what I'm feeling from him, that he's not getting it somewhere. So he's going to go out and get it by whatever means he can.
Or at least attempt to. That's
yes, correct. Attempt to.
in his own way, and then be very rejected and dejected, and then go back to his lair, basically, and then seemingly, you know, figure out his plan of stalking. Well, while most people would just go into a dating app and go, let's swipe right, let's swipe left. He's like literally at people's windows, like tap, tap, tapping and seeing if they're going to come and show up in that window that's not on a screen, but literally the one that he's staring through.
It's there's something not right with this boy. I mean, really, we're summing it up. We know what he's about, but this is very troubling behavior. And these selfies, like I took a selfie of myself. My hair is a little different today. So I wanted to see how it would look on a screen. Mm-hmm. And then I deleted it. I didn't hold up a piece of paper, like with the date on it, like, here's my name, you know, and we'll see all these pictures shortly. So I'm kind of floored by the whole thing. He's living in an alternate universe.
He really is. Let's start taking a look. I mean, just start putting these photos up on the screen. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see him.
We have to start there.
We'll start here. And if you're listening on the podcast platform, be sure to check out Hidden Killers with Tony Vursky on YouTube so you can watch this and you can see these photos. I mean, what was, Todd, when you saw this selfie, and you've been working with our graphics on all this stuff, so when you see the crazy, amazing, wonderful graphics we have now, you can thank Todd because he's doing all that behind the scenes.
Yay.
I had a reaction when I saw this. What was yours? I'm curious if it's similar.
So one of the things I thought of was it almost looks like it's AI. Like, really, this is what you wanted? This is what you want? And okay, I want to back up just really briefly.
Yeah.
And you know that I'm not a pro burger, right?
No, but, yeah, of course, yeah.
So take him out of the equation. Take the name Brian Koberger and everything we know about him out of the equation. People do take selfies, like Stacy said. Mm-hmm. And if you go on any social media, Instagram, there's a ton of people who do this stuff.
Sure. Right?
And most of them have the looks that probably are okay for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Brian probably is on the creepy side with his body and all that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how weird that is. I think the timing of when the photos were taken is weird. And then this one is something that will haunt my dreams forever.
I'm getting everybody a coffee mug with this image on it.
Because I sent a text when you sent this and I'm like, oh my God, my eyes. And then I sent the friends emoji where Phoebe and Rachel are jumping up and down going, my eyes, my eyes. Is that what it was? Yeah. I can't unsee this. I can never unsee what is on my screen right now.
I don't know what is this trying to look silly? Is he trying to look spooky? Is he trying, I don't, is this like just kind of one of those images where you're trying to get your face ready for a photo and you click it too early and it just captures, you know, like a weird in between expression. I mean, if we were to take any of us today, right now, I mean, in the last 10 seconds, we could probably find some weird expression all of us have made if we go to a split second image, 1/60th of a second on a frame rate, and we're going to get something like this. So I'm wondering if this is that, or if this is the pose, if this is, you know, the one he was going for this. It's weird. I don't know any other way to describe it. He's got his eyes kind of in a weird way. His mouth is open. He's got his yellow coffee stained teeth there. It's a weird smile. You got to see it to believe it, really. Then set it and forget it. The Ron Popeil.
He's taking selfies with his earbuds in. It's very weird.
There's so many. It seems every time he's in his bathroom taking selfies, which he took a lot of in his bathroom, he's always wearing his weird earbuds. I don't know what they're some sort of an earbud. I think it's like around the back of the head.
Yep.
It might be the Beats ones. I had some of those a while back, and they kind of, I had white ones, but this might be the black version. There's others. Let's keep going through these photos here. Here he is looking
emaciated.
Honestly, he doesn't have a build of any sort. He kind of looks starved. If you thought like maybe this guy has a little bulk to him, it looks like, well, this is his vegan diet, I guess, is really paying off of being emaciated looking. You can see his rib cage. He's got his shirt off. He's saluting.
That's the weird part to me. Like, okay, I know that he was very proud of his weight loss. I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. I've heard some of
but
that.
But this
kind
is
of stuff.
After the murders.
Right. That's the whole point. It's not like, hey, look, I've lost all this weight. My body's not great, but I want to somehow keep this historically in my phone. This is, I'm going to salute in a weird pose after I killed some people.
I think this is a salute to Papa Roger.
Do you really?
I do. I think it's a salute to the Elliot Roger character. I do. I mean, you're adding like the military type, you know, a salute in here. The Papa Roger character was military-esque looking in the stature and the photograph that was used for the profile shot. I do. I think this had something to do with that. He's got the earbuds in. It's another bathroom, close to the bathroom type shot. I don't know what else he'd be saluting. And if you look really closely, I don't know if you can zoom in there, Todd, onto his knuckle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
You see a wound that looks like it's in the stages of healing. Like this would have been taken a little bit after it. I mean, it's like you nailed your knuckle pretty good or cut your knuckle pretty good on something. It's a deep cut that's in the, you know, probably a week or two stage of healing is what it looks like.
Wow. I didn't even notice that
on his left hand. It's the finger, his ring finger on his left hand.
I was just busy looking at those pecs, man.
Stop. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could see that. What else we got? There's more. There's so many of these that are just so. Here's another one.
Again, if you're not watching on YouTube, you are missing half of this.
He's got a real nice squint going on. I don't know if this is what he equates to sexy, or I don't know what he equates this to. Strength, power. He's got his fist clenched in all of these photos, and his face is kind of clenched up too. Can we get onto that knuckle at all and see?
I'd love to hear from you in the comment section. Is this sexy? Is this what we want?
It's hard to see, but you can still kind of see that another mark right there. Let's move on to another one of these photos that have just been dropped.
Oh, God.
Here he is. This is Koberger.
There it is.
This is my favorite. This is what we should have on this. This would go good on a tumbler. You know, I think the other shot would go good on a mug. This would be like a good tumbler shot. It's more of a up and down, a 9:16 ratio.
I'm worried about our Christmas gifts, Todd.
I'm not celebrating this. I'm not celebrating this year, Tony. Oh,
we're doing Festivus. It'll be the airing of grievances. Just wait. So he's got his shirt tied or like pulled up. He's got like a midriff going on here.
Like a chick would wear, like we tie our shirts at the bottom.
We can't see the front of him, but it's like he tied his t-shirt up in a little, scrunchy thing at the front. Pulled it up so he's like, it's like a belly shirt, and then he's wearing some jeans that, can you zoom in on the label? Are these like from TJ Maxx or something?
No, those are new Levi's, I think.
Are they new Levi's? It looks like I can't tell from the tag.
That's definitely a Levi tag.
It's a Levi. So yeah. He's wearing Levi's, admiring his lack of ass, because it doesn't appear that he has one.
I'm sorry, ladies like a good ass.
I've been told that before.
Yeah, I know. It's a true statement.
The show is traumatizing me big time today. Yeah. The constant zooming in is really getting to me.
I'm just making a list of the things that I'd like, and I've seen none of it.
You're making a list of the things you like? What?
Not of Brian. Not of Koberger.
When you saw the pictures, let's get out the like list. Let's see if we can add some. Here he is again. This is, again, it's a muscle shot of his emaciated looking body. He got the headset in.
Good in that picture.
He looks good in that picture?
No, he thinks he looks good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he thinks this is exactly where it's at. You know, and I'm not body shaming. If that's what he wants to look like, that's great, but he is making out with himself in these photos. Hardcore.
He is. That's probably really what's going on here, since he gets, no positive feedback from anyone because he's so creepy and puts everybody off. He basically has to self-soothe himself by doing things like, and it's good to do, I guess this is self-love for Brian Koberger.
Well, one form.
In his own way. It's admiring himself, which is what narcissists do.
So hang on a second, Tony. Todd, this is a good looking picture of him. I can't see what the date says, but again, he's holding up a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird writing. What are the letters on all these?
We figured it out. Actually, Banfield figured it out. What we have here is him, and he's just wearing a regular old dress shirt, looks fairly normal. And then he has his name written on there like a 7-year-old would. I mean, literally, the writing looks like about seven-year-old level. Not seventh grade, 7-year-old. Then we have a date on this, and there's several of these. And I'm curious. I know what all these codes mean. I know what they are, but I don't know what are they representing? The second line is a date, 7/11/2022. What does the other thing mean? It's a flight number.
What?
A flight number?
They're all flight numbers.
For what?
I don't know. They are flight numbers
or something.
I don't know, but I think that we need to look into this. I mean, literally, I've seen these within the last hour. I've had no time to do any digging, but that's for my to-do list after the show today. And you guys too out there, start digging into this flight. These are flight numbers, and these are dates, and this is his name. So I'd be very curious to look into can you backtrack flight numbers? Can you look?
Yes, can you? Yep.
Because don't they change? They update, but you can look at it.
But you can look at the specific date. So if he's referencing a date, there's a flight number.
We need to look at the date and the flight number and where that would be too, because I think that might. I don't know. I think it's a clue. I think it may mean something. And, you know, there's been a lot of this is 1000% pure speculation.
Yeah.
1000%. Okay. I know nothing of any of what I'm about to theorize to be true. But there's been speculation of, you know, could he have been involved in this thing over here in odd locations that really weren't traditionally on the path of where you'd think he would be at X time? Like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego-ish? I'm curious as to where these go and if he's at some places and if that means something.
I'm not getting a flight number. I'm not getting anything of file.
They're ticket numbers. They're flight ticket numbers is what they are. They're not like, it's not like the American Airlines flight X. Like, these are ticket numbers, I believe, from tickets. So I don't know. Again, I don't know how traceable it's going to be, but it's something to look into further.
It's a passenger name record, a PNR. A 6-character code used by airlines to identify a specific reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So was he going somewhere?
I wonder if we were to put these into like American or Delta or whatever with the flight number and the name, if that would pull up the track of where the flight was or where it went. This, like, you know, you search to get your boarding pass and stuff. Mm-hmm. If that, I don't know. There's some research that needs to be done on that end. So there's a lot of these. I didn't even give you all of them, Todd, because I didn't have time to gather them all up. But there's several different dates, most of them relating to 2022, prior to the murders taking place.
Boy, yeah, I'm not finding much yet, so I'll keep digging.
And it's on notebook paper. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. I'm just trying to reiterate for those who are listening. And in the photos where he's holding the stuff up, he has his shirt on. He looks fairly normal. But it's like, I mean, he's staring directly in the camera, like, look at this. Like it's a trophy.
Yeah.
That's the weird part. Go back to that. Go to the next one here. And this is, I thought, was an interesting one. This is a shot of him at a ballpark. And look at where, what he's there, but there's a woman right behind him.
Right.
Oh.
It looks like there's a reason he's capturing that selfie of him at that exact spot. And that would be likely to capture her, is my guess.
God, he's scary.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And if you look at his eyes, the way he's looking at the camera, look, I'm not an expert at this, but you can kind of glean what he's doing. He's looking at that camera, and in the frame of that camera where he's looking at that image, he's looking at her.
I think you're right.
If you, it's basically like pool. You know, you look at the angle and the shot back, his eyes are on her.
Yeah.
His eyes are on her in the angle of that camera. He's watching her through the lens of the camera taking the shot.
Oh, this just creeps me out.
Ugh, creeps you out. Jeez. Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, so do we have more pictures, or are we
That's
at the
it.
End of
it? That was
okay.
It.
So, what are these pictures? Is this narcissism? Is this him leaving clues? Another thing I think we need to look at here is because he copies everybody. And that's pretty much all this monster has done is just copy. Who else? What other killers did things like this where they left a document of some sort with their name, their date, and something to do with a flight?
I think
that may tell us more. So there's everybody's homework for the day. Everybody out there, if you want to help us and dig into this and try and figure out what the hell is going on with these images, dig in and communicate. Let us know in the comment section here on this video what you find, and we can go back and forth and reconvene maybe on another episode here later in the week to discuss it more. But that's not all. But wait. There's more. If you look into Brian Koberger even more right now, we'll find even more serious revelations that have come through from the Idaho State Police. Reports now obtained by People Magazine. Two women, both students at Washington State University, came forward in 2022 to say they believed they were being stalked by Brian Koberger. These are new revelations. The first woman worked at the campus bookstore. She said Koberger began showing up every day. He seemed, in her words, very used to being put off by women.
Great.
How does that translate? Very used to being put. Normally people are being very used to being put off by women, just avoid women in general. But he just keeps coming back for more. One night in late summer, she was at home alone, changing in her room when she heard a knock at her window.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah. Called her husband, and the person outside ran off. It happened again on another evening. She heard movement on the porch. Her husband came home just in time to see a white car pulling away. Koberger drove a white Hyundai Elantra, the same car investigators later tied to the Moscow murders.
This guy was working up to something, wasn't he?
I really wonder if he was just, it could have been any night. I wonder how much he was planning for the night that he did this attack. Because there is some weird numerology there that Coffendaffer is unearthed with the 1122, his birthday being right there as well. Were the murders a birthday present to himself?
No, I knew you were going to say that.
And didn't she also mention something about the address and all that kind of stuff?
The address, 1122. Yes. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Todd. There's a lot to do with the numbers. And here we have him holding up numbers.
I don't know if we're ever going to know everything that we all want to know about this guy, because it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
And at the end of the day, what does it tell us, other than it's a really weird riddle that we're trying to figure out, that the chemicals in his brain connected this way and that way, and this is how he communicates to the world? Okay, great. He's a very broken, messed up human being who scrambled, and we figured out how to connect the dots of this scrambled puzzle. Other than that, what does it tell us?
I think what it tells us is we've got troubled individuals in our realm. What can we do?
We know that.
absolutely, we know that. But what can we do if we have a Brian Koberger in our lives, a guy who's tapping on windows, taking, mm-hmm. you know, pictures of women in the background? Yeah. What do we do when we see somebody like that? We retreat, we stay away from them. But is there something that we can do on a more proactive basis? And I'm not talking about lock him up. Oh, my God. No, but what can we do to protect ourselves from somebody like this?
I don't know that we can, other than being aware. Because if you go into more dystopian type life, if he were caught tapping on somebody's window, like the police showed up, the husband catches him or something, and they get him, you're going to get like a peeping something. I mean, it's like, it's going to be a slap on the wrist. I mean, he could do that 50 some times. And if that's all he keeps doing, it's a slap on the wrist. We keep getting warning signs from people over and over. I mean, hell, I mean, the Haro case that we're going to talk about with Siobhan next hour, that guy literally maimed his daughter. She's screwed for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And he got a slap on the wrist. So we don't do a whole lot about warning signs. We talk about warning signs a lot. When we have the warning signs, we're like, oh shit, look, we got the warning signs. And now what? The laws don't allow us to like keep these people locked away forever. I mean, nor should they. Or should they? Or should we have some other system in place here where it's like, look, and maybe the answer is more along this line. Mental hospitals. We used to have them in this country. And we do, but they're much smaller than they used to be. They're only operated on, for the most part, on small local levels. For the most part, the state mental hospitals were all taken down and destroyed by a man named Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. And those hospitals, these giant monolithic buildings, and I'm not saying they were great. There were some, depending on where you were at, that were treated very well. The people who were in them were respected, and they got good treatment. In some, they were literally chained to the wall, and it was horrible and horrific. And there's exposés on that. Geraldo did one on about it years ago. And literally, utterly horrible standards. I would think today maybe we could do better. Maybe today we could go back to it being a good standard. We'd have to certainly fund it, but it's where you could take individuals like this with a ton of warning signs and go, we need to put you over here. We need to see that you can integrate into society. Okay, because right now you ain't there. And we're not going to wait around for you to prove us wrong, because you're already doing this really creepy shit that you're one step away from really harming somebody more than you already have mentally. Just because someone hasn't physically harmed someone doesn't mean they haven't mentally harmed someone. And the fact that we allow people like this to continue to go on after they have done very mentally abusive things to other people, We don't put weight on the mental abuse, even though that ends up being some of the harshest, most damning abuse that any human being can endure is mental abuse over physical. But we don't take that seriously. And we just let everybody eats their own. It's free. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I think it might be something more in the middle where it's, let's see if we can get you help. And if you prove that you can't be helped, well, guess what? And there needs to be more authority from people, loving critics, as Robin would say, of people around them, like his parents. If you see something and you see your kid really struggling and there's something really off, having the ability to have authority to put them somewhere and get them somewhere where they can get help, whether they like it or not. Because most people who need this help, they're not going to raise their hand and say they need the help. They don't think they need the help. That's why they're doing the shit they're doing. Problem solved, everyone. I'm glad we got that taken care of.
I'd also like to point out that I think it's important for women, and it's something that I've gotten into in the last year. Self-defense is really important.
Sure.
And I think it elevates who you are within yourself so that you feel more confident and you're more situationally aware of what your surroundings are. You know, when you go outside to your car, are you mm-hmm. looking around? It doesn't mean you have to live a paranoid life.
People are doing this.
Right. It doesn't mean that you have to lead a paranoid life, but it's good to be aware. And I've been pointing out some situations like, you would think this way in this situation. Here's how I think. And it goes back to the whole scenario. Who would you rather confront in the woods by yourself, a bear or a man as a woman. Yeah. Most women choose the bear.
Well, unless you had Koberger with you, because he had bear spray in his apartment. He did. Well, we're going to talk with Jennifer Coffendeffer about that in just a little bit. So stick around for that. The woman who had that happen, who had Koberger tapping on her windows, told police he also seemed to know things that he shouldn't. He addressed her by name, though she never told him, and wore no name tag. He made comments about her work hours, suggesting he tracked them. To her, it was clear he was watching her life. The second woman worked in the criminology department where Koberger was a PhD student. She was an undergraduate. She said he sought her out almost daily. She rejected him, even told him plainly she was a lesbian. It didn't matter. He continued. He was going to try and convert her. One night, she was working late. As she prepared to lock up, she saw him outside, staring directly into her window for their eyes to meet. He had to be deliberately looking in. When he entered the building, she panicked and hid in a bathroom until he left. Later, a neighbor warned her that someone had been right outside her window. Soon after, she learned that she lived across or very close to Brian Koberger. Let me ask you this. Was this, because this is an interesting one, is this an example of Koberger obviously not respecting anybody's boundaries, obviously not respecting anybody's life either? Is this Koberger trying to get control? And is this more of a control move than it is a sexual move? Because if he knows that she's a lesbian and she's not attracted to him at all, does he still think, I mean, is he running from the mindset of, I can make her attracted to me? Or is he running from the mindset of, I just want to control this person? It's nothing sexual about it. It's just pure control.
I bet it's both. I think this man operates from both of those perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
That he wants to control, and he can change the narrative.
Well, yeah. And maybe it doesn't matter what about anything about who she is as a human being. It's right. About him just consuming her for what he wants her to be. So she could say anything and it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. If he's attracted, that's all that matters.
Correct.
And controlling what he's attracted to is essentially the goal.
Yeah. And there's no permission given to these women. This is all about what he wants. And the women have no agency whatsoever.
Yeah.
You can just feel it.
She wasn't the only one. Another classmate remembered finding footprints in the snow outside her window. That's always comforting. Tracks had been backtracked as though the person wanted to hide where they began. So it's like, you know, we're doing that like as a kid. You walk in like, not backtracking, but walking in like the prints of like who's in front of you because it's easier in the snow.
Yep.
He kind of did that to himself, it looks like, wanting to hide where they began.
The little kid in The Shining did that. Remember when he's out in the snow and stuff like that and he wanted to get away from the Jack Nicholson character? He backtracked in the snow in his own footprints.
Add another one.
Ding, ding, ding. And we actually had a comment earlier that somebody thought that his first picture looked like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. She said she was, I think it was Orchid One, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the comment. It's great.
That's it's not surprising. I mean, early on, I think we were the first ones to call it here, where we said, it looks like he's trying to dress like American Psycho and nod to that and Psycho. And turns out several months later, we learned, that's exactly what he was trying to do by that initial shower photo that he took. He's a mimic of everything. He mimics other things. He pieces other things together. Some of it from real life, some of it from fantasy and fiction, and then lives it. That's his identity. It's all these pieces of little things. That's why I'm really curious about those pieces of paper.
Yeah.
that he was holding up with those numbers on it. Cause it's, yeah. The tracks had been backtracked as though the person wanted to hide where they begin. Another student reported someone trying to open their door again and again. Those reports stacked up. Women describing unwanted pursuits, intrusion at work, and fear inside their own homes. There were a lot of red flags here on this guy. A lot of red flags. But the problem, it seems, is nobody knew who was doing it for all that time.
But there were enough reports about him, you know, that somebody should have looked into him anyway, even if you take away some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Because you can't tie the two together necessarily. There was enough weird shit about him.
Yeah.
You know, we've all, the three of us have worked in radio, and radio tends to attract kind of similar people, like really talented people who are outgoing and creative. And then the really weird people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not wrong, am I?
Hey, no. Stacy, you want to have lunch?
What?
My name is Rob.
Yeah. Lots of stories there. But again, what do you do when you are around these quote unquote weird people, the ones who are inappropriately touching you or inappropriately staring at you? There has to be a mechanism in our world where we can go into gear and say, okay, stop. This behavior is not okay. Mm-hmm. You need to stop doing this and advocate for yourselves. And I think a lot of times we just retreat.
There are mechanisms for it. It's called firing people. And then, I mean, but if they're- if
And then they
not,
come back and kill you.
Well, if it's not within the realm of employment though, either, I mean, you have to, I mean, it's setting up boundaries, but they don't respect boundaries. So it just depends on the setting. Really, because in reality, if it's in the business world, if you have a boss or somebody that's doing this sort of shit, it's what happens in the teaching world. It's called passing the trash. What happened in our world where we got the creepy motherfucker fired for all the shit he was doing years ago? Well, they fired him. There's not a whole lot any of us could do beyond that. We couldn't like prevent him from getting a further employment, which he did. It took 20 years later and we found out he was working in a school and we called the school and said, hey, by the way, this fucker's a little creepy. We got some stories for you, but you might want to watch the kids closely. But that's the thing. It's just they can keep going. And the way that it works in terms of hiring and firing people today, you are putting yourself up at a huge liability as an employer if you were to give a negative review or recommendation of somebody, because they could come back to you and say, well, prove it. I didn't get this job now because you said this negative thing about me. And then you got to go and deal with that. And you end up settling with somebody because they file a frivolous lawsuit, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper to make them go away than it is to fight them in court over something of that. So the odds are stacked the deck is stacked in favor of the predators. That's how our system works. That's outside terrible. Of an, and that's where you have some grounds to do something within an employment situation. When it's outside of that, it's the Wild West. Have your cameras. The best thing you can possibly do is have ways of documenting and figuring out who the hell is doing these sort of things. That could be as simple as putting a Ring camera up over your door, over your windows. If somebody's doing this shit, figure out who it is. There's ways of doing it or deterring them if they know they're going to be on camera. Should you have to do that? No, of course not. But guess what? There's nothing else you can do. Unless you're going to hire private security to sit on your property 24/7, and the police aren't able to sit there and do that for you.
Well, again, it comes down to protecting yourself.
Yes.
And I carry, this sounds ridiculous, but I carry a knife with me at all times now. Mm-hmm. I've learned how to use it and what cuts are the best ones to do, you know, to get yourself out of a situation. It sounds horrible.
She also carries a flamethrower when she goes through Target, which is a little weird. They're like, ma'am, what's in the backpack? And she's like,
yeah,
that's what's up, bitches. And everybody just goes, okay, let her go. She's going over there. She's going to get, you know, bottle of two buck chuck and let her be with her flamethrower.
I don't drink two buck chuck. But I thought you knew me better than this.
She drinks Franzia.
Thank you. If it's not in a box, I don't drink it. Seriously, women especially, we need to be ready to defend ourselves. And it's horrible to have to think that way. But stack the deck in your favor. And that's what I do. I've got knives all over my apartment. It sounds crazy, but I'm newly single. I'm on a ground floor.
Do you have a sword? Do you have a sai? Like the... Are you like Mulan?
Not yet.
Okay. I think you need to get him out one day, and we'll just do a camera pan of all your...
You can let the audience decide if it's too much. As you sit there at your house all day and your cats are telling you, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Stacy, the cats are really not speaking to you. There's no telepathic. I mean, that's you saying that to you, thinking the cats are saying that.
Yeah, but on a serious note, we have to be ready to defend ourselves at any given time. I hope we never have to, but knowing how to do it, if some situation presents itself, that you can put up the biggest fight possible. That's what's important.
I agree. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, look, if there's a problem, you have agency.
Correct.
You do. You can't. And I think so many people just... they lock up. They don't know what to do. What should I do? Like, I can't. You can't control them, but you can control you.
Yeah.
And there are things you can do to be preventative, to be prepared. Well, I shouldn't have to. You're right. You shouldn't have to. And that's where a lot of people stop going, well, I shouldn't have to do that. Well, then go be a victim. Be a victim, then. That's just your choice. You are choosing to be a victim if you choose to do absolutely nothing to try and prevent something you are concerned about for your safety.
We got a message from Dawn who said that the two-finger salute means victory.
No shit.
Well, that's even more frightening. Thank you, Dawn.
I'd be curious about the date on that specific one. You know?
Yeah.
Because we don't have the dates. We know that these were taken after the murders, but we don't know the exact. So it's within that window. But it seemed that whole window, he was kind of in that. I'm going to guess this was closer to the front end before he got super, super paranoid and was wearing gloves. Because this doesn't seem like the demeanor of someone who's, you know, moving trash to his parents' neighbor's trash can with surgical gloves on. This seems like he's got a little more confidence at this moment in time.
Yeah.
The link to Moscow is indirect, but it is impossible to ignore. In the weeks before Koberger's death, Kaylee Gonzalez told friends she felt like someone was watching her. Ugh. She said once she was letting her dog Murphy out, she saw someone staring from the woods near the house on King Road.
No.
There's your graphic for that segment, Todd.
Exactly.
Harriet's standing in the woods. A surviving roommate later told investigators that Kaylee often mentioned this fear enough that she didn't want to be in the house alone. That's what I'm saying. I was kind of getting to that earlier, and then I kind of got off on another tangent. And I think we're going to miss the Amish people today. We might have to do that tomorrow. What do you think? Do you think that the King Road house and the date that he chose to go do that, Was he leading up to that? Was he planning for that? Or did he just finally get the nerve that day and said, damn it, it's my birthday, I'm going to go do this shit? Or was he ready and willing to do this at all these other homes, but never quite had the nerve to do it? Or were they all dry runs?
Hmm. Go ahead, Stacy, if you've got a thought.
No, I don't. But that's just... Oh God!
The more that we've kind of talked about this with some of our experts and speaking with Jennifer Coffin-Daffer and all that kind of stuff, I think he really had a plan for his birthday. I think that the address had something to do with it. It would be an awful odd coincidence that it didn't.
Yeah.
And I think he was. Just my personal opinion, I have nothing to base this on, but just knowing what I know of him through our conversations and our discussions, I think he was just, these other things he was doing were just things that he was doing to kind of enjoy himself. Maybe leading up to, you know, testing a little bit of this out, testing a little bit of that out. But I think he was just enjoying himself. I think he really planned the Idaho murders. And I think the numbers are tied together in some way, shape, or form.
I guess, do you think that was him trying to be tricky? Like, there's going to, like, this is my little signature. I'm going to do this on certain, like, if he's planning to do more of it, was he, was that going to be his calling card, doing it on certain numeral days that that made sense as part of some sort of code? Because other than just the numbers lining up, okay, here's your birthday. It's 1122, 1122 King Road, and it's pretty close. It's 11, the date of the murders themselves. Was that just him in a really dense way going, oh, look at that. That's a numerology. You know, that this is creepy. This is going to be because it just seems there's a lot of loose ends if you're just going to plan it on numerology. The fact that the murder scene was what it was, and to have the confidence to walk in there and think you're going to off four people. I don't think he walked in there knowing there was going to be four people he was going to kill. I think it was just going to be like one or two, if that. I wonder, maybe I just wonder how much he was planning it, or how much it just went awry with the people. Maybe that is the thing. The numbers were the thing. He thought he was going to get in and get out. The numbers were all just going to line up and look creepy. But the fact that there was all those other people in there is what really ended up throwing him for the loop and surprising him.
You know, all I want for my birthday is just a nice dinner and flowers. I mean, am I not reaching far enough for the stars here? I just, what is wrong with somebody that this is what they want to do to gift themselves?
I think what you should do is tell a special someone that, hey, you ever hear of boudoir photos? I want you to take some like these, my man.
Oh my God.
And if he doesn't, he's a keeper.
Yeah, that's right.
So get a new pair of Levi's that don't quite fit, so your muffin top bleeds over. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that selfie of your ass from a mirror perspective, right? Because was that a reflection?
Yes. And you have to request that he puts a large textbook in where his ass is, so it looks like Koberger's. So it's just like flat and there's nothing there, because you want to be as authentic as you can to the Koberger.
There you go, Stacey. I'm just giving you what you want. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, honey.
You're a little early, but I'll take it.
I knew you would.
I'll take it. Thank you.
What do you think he's thinking? And do you think he's going, damn, I look good in those jeans?
Oh, absolutely.
I think he is. Yeah. I think he is.
He is so freaking proud of what he has to see there.
And again, just if you take the Brian Koberger out of it, maybe he's been through a lot with his weight. I mean, I'm somebody who's been up and down with my weight in my life. So when I lose a little weight, I feel good about myself.
Sure.
I'm not going to take an ass picture in the bathroom, but so.
You should, Todd.
I've never taken an ass picture in my life of any. I don't think I've ever taken a body. Like, I don't even take selfies, you know, unless it's like, oh, we need a headshot for something. You know, it's.
It's what I'm loving about this conversation with you guys is it's not just creepy to me as a woman. It's super creepy to you guys too. And I appreciate that, because it should be creepy to everybody.
It's extremely creepy.
Some guys would look at that and go, what? He's happy about his body. He's taking photos. And we may even have somebody in the comments who can't see what's wrong with this.
I don't know. I'm sure there's people who don't see what's wrong with it. I mean, it's the same people that I've seen out there. I was rushing this morning trying to, because this story popped up. I'm like, shit. So I'm trying to get it together. And then I see some buddy that posted some video about why would Koberger admit to crimes he didn't commit? And it's his mother. His mother made him admit to crimes he didn't commit. Like, who in their right mind is still sitting out there thinking that Brian Koberger didn't do this? I'm sorry. If you have empathy and sympathy for Brian Koberger, knowing what we know about Brian Koberger and the evidence that exists out there against him, I would question you being alone with a female, alone with anybody, really. I would wonder where your track record has been. Where is your GPS going to put you at night? If you're sitting there sticking up for Brian Koberger to this day, I'm going to guess you may also be a predator. Or have predatory tendencies. Just a thought. You want to see something, say something? I'd look at those fuckers very closely.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Very, very closely, because there is something not right with that way of thinking. So that's the latest on Koberger, the pictures, the new claims of stalking, all sorts of fun that we can break down. And everybody, do look into those numbers, look into those dates, see if you can figure out a correlation as to why those things were on that piece of paper like that. That was very, very bizarre. In just a little bit, we're going to talk about the Baby Emmanuel Haro case and Jake Haro and how this system completely broke down in every which way and form. Siobhan Scott going to be joining us, psychotherapist and author. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, let's go to Jennifer Coffendaffer and a conversation I just had with her about Brian Koberger and about some more pictures, about the pictures from within his house. Here's that conversation. Stay with us.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The case against Brian Koberger, obviously, he's in jail for the rest of his life. But that doesn't mean there's not new pieces of this puzzle that we are finding and unwrapping and putting into the puzzle going, oh, well, this might make a little bit more sense. We're going to talk about some of the images from that apartment that have been released, the hundreds and hundreds of images from Brian Koberger's apartment, his office, and there's some interesting findings in there, including the medication that he was on. Yes, it was blocked off, but we have figured out what it was because there was a medical code that was not blocked off. And we're going to talk with Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, about that today. But Jennifer, let's start with this. So newly released images from the apartment. It really gives us kind of a rare, intimate look at the environment that he inhabited in the aftermath of the murders. And I kind of think of this almost like not even as an apartment. It is like a habitat because he's kind of like a lizard. And it's just like, oh, well, there's his feeding bowl over there. And there's his little water thing. There's disturbing clarity in what was left behind, from the criminology text to the birthday cards sent after the killings, cleaning supplies, blood stains, chilling handprints. It's not all just clutter. It's a story that is that's being told. Let's look at some of this. Investigators found the graded essays and academic files, some critical of his writing and what he was putting out there to his professors. What did you glean off of? Let's start with that. Some of the papers, some of the academic pieces that were found in his apartment.
Well, I have to say, and I wasn't a PhD student in criminology, but I was a criminology major. And when you look at the different papers that are written, quite frankly, I thought everything seemed sort of routine in terms of what you study in mm-hmm. criminal justice. So it didn't jump off the page like I think it might be to some people because mm-hmm. they haven't studied it. So it was nothing that I found too profound, if you will. I thought it was interesting, though, that he talks about the lack of training with police officers. So mm-hmm. he knew that. We all know that. Most of us know that. They go through a very short training period, and that's all the training they ever get for the rest of their career. Mm-hmm. Other than they don't even get training in shooting. They go mm-hmm. out and they qualify with their 50 or 60 rounds once a year, and that's it. So their training is literally OJT, mm-hmm. and that's why there's, mistakes made. And he well knew that. I did think that was interesting, almost like he was sort of counting on it.
There's birthday cards there as well, dated November 21st of 2022, just days after the actual murders, which, I don't know, that's an interesting find. And the thought I'm just having there is, it was so close to his birthday. that these crimes took place. And he'd been stalking for quite some time. Do you think in some way, shape, or form, he chose this date to be his own little pre-birthday present?
I do. I don't think it's a stretch to say anything like that. Think of all the times that you said, you know what? I'm going to take this trip. It's a week in advance of your birthday. I'm going to take it. I'm going to buy this something for myself because you know what? My birthday, it's coming up. It's around the corner. Mm-hmm. And it makes so much sense to me when you see the thumbs up selfie combined with the timing. You know, it just makes all the sense in the world that this was some sort of gift to himself in part. I know that sounds horrible. Yeah. That's what I really believe.
No, I mean, it does. Of course, it sounds horrible. But yeah, when you put that together, it's another ode to himself, mm-hmm. you know, for someone that really just thinks the world of himself. Well, mom seemed to as well. We saw that birthday card in there with who was it? It was Teddy Roosevelt, I believe, riding a dinosaur. And mom made some interesting notes on the card. I don't have it directly in front of me at this second, but it was alluding to his personality. One part being kind of the more formal academic, the Teddy Roosevelt, the other being this dinosaur that's out of control, that's just knocking things down and has no self-control, nothing. It's just out there, this rage in the universe. It's interesting that mom honed in on that when she was walking through Walgreens picking out the card, and how accurate that really does seem to be of his personality. I'm not going to take the credit for that observation. Robin Drake had that this morning with us. I'm curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I thought it was very interesting. I posted that card right away. I also thought it was interesting the date of his birthday coinciding. It's just interesting with the, 1122 when he decided mm-hmm. to do the murders with 1122 King Road. Just mm-hmm. kind of one of those things. Do I think he did it because of that? You know, did he choose that address because of that? No, but it's just kind of one of those weird things. But definitely noticed that with the card. It blared off the page, in my opinion, that he had a grandiose view of himself and it wasn't missed by his mother.
God, the numerology is getting weird on this, isn't it?
It is, and that's all it is. But I tell you, it's just over and over again. You know, I keep finding these little nuggets.
I mean, not in no way saying it's like supernatural or ghostly. It's more like, did he plan it this way? Did he seek out these numbers to do things in certain ways? Oh, that's, yeah. But again, he's a copycat of a lot of things. So it could just be a couple places where these numbers line up. And it's like, he thinks this is some, you know, in-depth look at me and how great my thinking is. The apartment appeared very Spartan, bare walls, stripped shelves, minimalist storage. In your experience, I mean, does that minimalism, is that an attempt to, you know, erase personal emotion, to show he doesn't have any emotion, you know, or to create any sort of psychological distance from anything, including a setting that one would call home?
Well, you ready for this, Tony? Because yeah. I might throw a wrench in that philosophy.
All right.
I really believe that I want to see his apartment before the murders. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen that. I bet you it looked more like his icebox and his pantry. Mm-hmm. This is my point. He, just like they said, he dismantled that car and put it back together to make sure he wiped it clean. I think he did that with his apartment. He didn't want any possibility of any blood, any pet hairs, anything being found at a later time. I think he cleaned, he scrubbed. I think he made that apartment that sterile. I don't think it was that sterile before the murders. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I just don't think it was that sterile. I think that's why we see no shower curtain and all the other sterileness of that place. I think he got rid of anything.
You make a good... You make a good point. I mean, he did it with the car. We know that, basically described as disassembled. Because, I mean, it almost feels like when I look at that apartment, I said earlier on the show today, I said, it looks like he's staying at like the Residence Inn or something, where you're just there for a few nights, you're in town and then you're out. You put a few things in the closet, you know, whatever, and then you're in and out. But this was like, this is where he's living for long, long periods of time, but to not have anything there, it looks like he's getting it ready to sell or to leave or to move out. But that does make a lot of sense. His car was almost, I mean, you know, disassemble your car, but I guess you clean it up before you sell it. It kind of had that same sort of vibe to it. I that's a very good observation. I'd agree with that. Among the recovered items, a lot of cleaning supplies, which points to that, a box of bear spray. Odd combinations for the context. I mean, how do these elements become more than just supplies in interpreting suspect behavior? Or at this point, is it just kind of random things that we're finding in this house? He got rid of anything that would have been more questionable.
There is no way that, in my opinion, that bear spray is random or just something he had around. This goes back to my belief that, and I've said this from day one, that he hid those garments, he hid that knife, because for him to return to them, just like Bundy would return to dead bodies and get off, mm-hmm. I think he was going to return to those items, indicia of the crime, his reminders, that precious knife, and get off. And I think it's hidden well within a wooded area somewhere. And mm-hmm. I think that bear spray was to protect himself when he went into that environment.
So wouldn't it have been used against people? It was to protect him to get back to his hidey hole, basically.
That's what I think.
That makes sense. Robin has the same sort of theory. He brought it up on the show, I think, initially before a lot of folks did. Even talking about some specific locations, if you look back, you know, where his car would be, some of those parks, he's been wondering if maybe that hidey hole resides in one of those areas. What are your thoughts on where maybe this hidey hole might be?
Well, I think the initial hidey hole was close to that Moscow area in that circuitous way that he took and the time that was spent after the murders and before he arrived back at the apartment. So I think that was an initial hidey hole. I think there was a secondary hidey hole that occurred en route from Moscow to Pennsylvania. Again, a very circuitous route, a route no one would take, especially on a long trip, unless they just wanted to see, you know, the greatest, biggest ball of twine somewhere if they were on some sort of mission.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. There's no reason for him to take that route. He had that shovel, which again, a lot of people said, well, you know, the snow shovel, you know, I have had this conversation. I don't think that was a snow shovel. There was dirt in it. We don't know what the shovel was. That is one of the pieces I am dying to see. But, you know, the FBI thought it was important enough that they took the dirt and compared it to all these other dirts from all these other places that were en route in that weird route he took to get back home. So, yes, I mean, this is telling me as an FBI agent, this is what I would have done if I had a shovel. Why did he have that shovel with him?
Why? Exactly. I think we should all get together some weekend with metal detectors and go visit these parks and see what we can find.
He's so interesting. I mean, that K-bar knife, for people who don't know, and, mm-hmm. and I really need to take a picture with it. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yum.
Tony,
yum.
It's huge. Yeah. I bet you it's about this big, like from the top of my fingers to mm-hmm. here. You know, this isn't the little.
It's not a little like knife that you would think, you know, oh, let's put this here. This is a killing machine. And it has some space in whatever box it's sitting in under the ground.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.